So here we are, and we're dealing with the subject of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. What are we going to learn for ourselves from this chapter? What are we going to do as we try to put this one into practice? In chapter 11, the fifth major section of Hebrews, which began in 10:19, is continued. In this section, Christ is shown to have provided a better way of life. It's the life of faith. In Hebrews 10:19 through 25, believers have been called on to hold fast their confession. Furthermore, in 10:26 through 39, an alternative has been given to those who are wavering. It's either Christ or it's judgment. In chapter 11, some Old Testament examples of faith are used. We've already seen a definition of faith in verse 1. We've already seen that the elders demonstrated the existence of their faith by their actions in verse 2. That by faith we understand that God created the worlds out of nothing. Verse 3. That Abraham demonstrated his faith by coming to God on God's terms. That Enoch demonstrated his faith by pleasing God. That pleasing God requires faith. And that Noah demonstrated his ark by building an earth. We've also seen that Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents, and Moses demonstrated their faith. As we move on, we see in verses 29 through 30 that the Israelites demonstrated their faith, or you could say their lack of faith. It started out being their lack of faith, but it ended up being their faith. We read about this in Exodus 14, 1 through 30. I don't usually want to go through this long a passage, but it's pertinent to our message tonight. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before, and how are you going to pronounce that one? Well, here's the Hebrew pronunciation. Pihahiroth. I would not have gotten that myself had I not looked it up in a Hebrew text. Between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Now, you notice, they were where God wanted them to be. Now, they weren't wanting what was going to happen, as far as what they could see. But they were where God wanted them to be. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in it. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. God is hardening Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, meaning his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he, that's Pharaoh, made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots. Now, these are the 600 best chariots. And he also took all the chariots, meaning all the rest of the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. Sounds like a rather formidable force. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihath-Chi-Roth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. You suppose God allowed them to see the Egyptians coming? Of course he did. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They weren't exactly believing, were they? No, they weren't. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now listen, their backs were to the Egyptians. Forward was the Red Sea. Seemed like it was sort of impossible. But lift up thou thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host or his army, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face, that's before the Israelites' face, and stood behind them. It's between the Egyptians and the Israelis. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, meaning to the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these, meaning to the Israelites, so that one came not near the other all the night. Here it seemed to be a disaster in the making. And Israel was afraid, but God was in control. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So I ask a few questions here. How wide would you suppose the path through the Red Sea was? Single file? Remember, there may have been as many as 2.5 million Israelites, plus cattle, plus sheep, plus goats, and that they all had to get across the Red Sea in one night. Obviously, it was certainly not single file. Might it have been a mile wide? or more? We don't know. How high also would the walls of water, which would eventually come crashing down on the Egyptians, be? We don't know. But if they were half a mile or a mile away from the center, there would be considerable force when that water came gushing toward them, wouldn't there? Have you ever been at one of the oceans and gotten knocked over by a wave, taking your feet out from under you? How high was that wave? Maybe 2 feet high? What if that wall of water was 500 feet high or more? We don't have any way of knowing. But you can imagine that it would certainly take their feet out from under them when it came crashing, these two walls of water came crashing together. What if it had been 50 feet high coming at you from two directions? What if it had been 100 feet high coming at you from two directions? It might have knocked you off your feet. And then some, okay? You understand? You picture this. It's not just single file. And it's not just a wall 5 feet high. It wasn't going through some marsh. It was going through a sea of Galilee. Not Sea of Galilee, but the Red Sea. And it was going through there with 2.5, maybe, million people, plus cattle, sheep, goats. That'd take a long time to get through, unless it was a really wide opening. Well, the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. Even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch. That's just the next morning. The Lord looked unto the host, meaning unto the army of the Egyptians, through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host, meaning troubled the army of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that they drove them with difficulty. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. A lot of good chariots will do when the wheels are off. It made them kind of dragging through the bottom of that sea. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out now thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength, meaning that the sea went back to its place or returned to its full depth when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it. How long would it take for water that's 100 feet high or more to flow toward you when you're in the middle? Not long. And you can imagine they were terrified. All of a sudden, they're not going to have victory over the Israelites. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh, that's the army, that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. One of my sons, who's now a pastor, I won't tell you Dan's name, but he always wanted to be there and put his finger in that wall and just to have the experience. I thought that was interesting. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Interesting, isn't it? Verse 29 refers to the Israelites demonstrating their faith in their passing through the Red Sea, while they were terrified before the sea opened up, they did go through that Red Sea. Verse 29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith is because of faith, because of belief, or because of trust. They, refers to the Israelites, passed through the Red Sea, went through the Red Sea or crossed the Red Sea. Would it have taken some faith to go through a place where the waters were piled up on high on both sides of you? Probably. They knew they didn't have much choice. They knew that the Egyptians would kill them or enslave them. They passed through the Red Sea as they went through the Red Sea, or they crossed the Red Sea. They crossed the bottom of it, but not the top of it. As by dry land is as through dry land, or as by means of dried up land. And indicates that the Israelites passed through the Red Sea as if they were on dry ground. As a matter of fact, walking on the bottom of the sea, they were on dry ground, weren't they? Which refers to the act of passing through the Red Sea by means of dry ground. The Egyptians refers to the armies of Pharaoh that were pursuing after the Israelites, assaying to do, might be when they attempted, or because they attempted, or simply the Egyptians attempted. They were drowned. They were swallowed up. Of course, the result of their being swallowed up by the Red Sea is that they were drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. As we move into verse 30, we see another incident. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. We read about this in Joshua chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly, meaning securely, shut up, because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass, meaning circle the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. This is the warriors only, not the entire population. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass or circle the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. And when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Down to Joshua 6:15, and it shall come to pass on the 7th day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed or circled the city after the same manner 7 times, only on that day they compassed or circled the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. This means that all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. Now, although it was only the military, the soldiers that were to circle the city, there were over 600,000 of them. It wasn't a little group. Joshua 6:20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. They were completely surrounding the city, it sounds like, and 600,000 soldiers went straight ahead and they took the city. Of course, some people might have been a little startled when the walls fell down. They were depending on those walls for protection. Doesn't matter what the world depends on. God's perfectly capable of removing it. By faith is because of faith. The walls of Jericho fell down refers to the destruction of the city of Jericho. And when their protection was gone, they were soon gone. It was the walls which surrounded and protected Jericho which fell down. After they were compassed about 7 days, indicates that it was on the seventh day that these walls fell down. And they were compassed suggests after they were circled. The Israelites had marched around the city of Jericho once each day for 6 days, and then the seventh day they marched around Jericho seven times. And after they had finished the seventh march around the city, the priests blew the trumpets and the people shouted and the walls fell down. Well, we go on in verse 31 and we see that Rahab demonstrated her faith. Now, this actually occurred in Joshua chapter 2 before the city walls fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. We read about this in Joshua chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, now that's N-U-N, not N-O-N-E, all right? He had a mom and a dad, as you can imagine. Sent out of Shittim, that's the place where the Israelites were encamped after they crossed the Jordan River. Sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither, meaning in here, tonight, of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. It means, but I did not know where they were from. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither, meaning where the men went, I wot not, meaning I do not know. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the two men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. Those would be the places where you could cross safely. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, this is the two spies, she came, Rahab, came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, namely Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. It's interesting. She, of course, did survive. So did her family. All the rest of the people from Jericho died. She ends up in the line of Christ. Isn't that interesting? God took this lady and used her in the line of Christ. Then she let them down by a cord, meaning by a rope, through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall, and she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. By faith is because of faith. It was because of faith that the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab, the harlot, or the prostitute, had hidden the spies, and by her action had demonstrated that she had saving faith. As a result, she perished not, meaning her life was spared when Jericho fell. Because of her belief, she will also not perish in eternal hell with those who did not believe. Them that believed not is literally the ones who were disobedient, or the ones who disobeyed. And of course, as you know, the supreme act of disobedience is to disbelieve or to reject the gospel. When she had received the spies with peace, indicates what Rahab had done. When she had received, may be understood in the sense of after she had received, or because she had received. The spies are the two Israelite spies who spied out Jericho. Rahab had enough sense to believe the reports that God was with Israel and that Jericho would fall. With peace tells the manner in which Rahab received the spies and suggests peaceably. Notice that she was commended for receiving the spies and hiding them. She was not commended for lying. Finally, we see in verses 32 through 40 that many others also demonstrated their faith. Verse 32 indicates that the writer could go on and on with his examples of persons in the Old Testament who exercised faith in God. And what shall I say more say? For the time would fail to tell me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. And what shall I say more is, and what shall I say yet? Or, and what shall I say still? For the time would fail me to tell of more heroes of the faith. To tell of means to relate or to recount or to describe. There's only so much space, and to continue to add examples of faith is not necessary. The writer has more than made his point. You know, he didn't have a computer that he was using to write. He didn't have an endless supply of paper. He was probably writing this on a manuscript, and the manuscript itself would have been from an animal skin and was only so long. He was going to run out of space. So he summarizes a little bit. He summarizes by mentioning such men as Gideon or Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, as well as the rest of the prophets. Remember Gideon? He had his army of 32,000 men reduced to 300 in order to defeat the Midianites. Barak defeated the Canaanites and Jephthah defeated the Ammonites. He could have mentioned similar things regarding these individuals in this verse, like he mentioned in the previous verse. One finds the inclusion of Samson rather interesting. He is listed in this verse as a hero of faith, even though much of what is recorded of his life in the Bible is in apparent disobedience to what God intended for him. I can only wonder how much more Samson might have done for the Lord if he had avoided the sins mentioned of him in Judges. There's a good lesson in this verse for all believers. Let's stay out of sin. Who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. These additional heroes of faith are described in verse 33 as who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Who refers to Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets mentioned in verse 32. Through faith indicates by means of faith or because of faith. Subdued kingdoms means conquered kingdoms, defeated kingdoms, or overcame kingdoms. Wrought righteousness is carried out righteousness or uprightness. Accomplished righteousness or uprightness, or did righteousness or uprightness. Obtained promises is attained to promises or reached promises. God promised them some things, and they obtained them. Stopped the mouths of lions is closed lions' mouths or shut lions' mouths. One is reminded of Daniel in the lion's den. Can you imagine being put down into a den filled with lions who were undoubtedly hungry, probably were eyeing Daniel, and Daniel was probably wondering if he would see the morning light? Well, he did. But those who had been responsible for him being in there, before they were thrown in, after he got out and before they hit the ground, the lions had broken all their bones. God held the lions' mouths. Verse 34 continues the description of what these other heroes of the faith did. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They quenched the violence of fire. Quenched means extinguished or put out. The violence is the power, the might, the strength, or the force, and of fire suggests belonging to a fire or produced by fire. One is reminded of Shadrach, also known by his name as Hananiah, Meshach, also known by his Hebrew name as Mishael, and Abednego, also known by his Hebrew name as Azariah, in Daniel 3. They were tossed into the fiery furnace, and they came out without their hair being singed, without any harm, not even smelling like they'd been in the fire. Escape the edge of the sword is escape the mouth of the sword or saber. Out of weakness were made strong is became strong from weakness and indicates that they were weak and that they moved away from that weakness to a place of strength. Waxed valiant is became or came to be strong, became or came to be powerful, or became or came to be mighty. in fight, is in battle, in an armed conflict or in war. Turned to flight is caused to fall. And what they turn to flight or cause to fall is the armies of the aliens, the armies set in battle array, the army lines or the battle lines of those hostile or the battle lines of their enemies. Verse 35 continues some general statements regarding these Old Testament heroes of faith. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured and not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Women or wives received their dead raised to life again as literally women received their death, their dead by means of resurrection. And others, means others of the same sort, were tortured. They were tortured with what's called a tympanon, which would indicate that they were beaten to death. Eventually, the term came to mean simply tortured or tormented. Not accepting deliverance is not receiving deliverance, not taking up deliverance, or not welcoming deliverance. And when used with a negative, as it is in this verse, it is refusing to accept deliverance or rejecting deliverance, meaning release. They knew they were going to die, but apparently they were given an alternative. If they would do something or not do something, they'd be released. They refused to accept the alternative. That they might obtain a better resurrection is understood in the sense of in order that, or for the purpose that they might obtain a better resurrection is that they might gain or find or attain or experience a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. And may indicate a continuation of the thought. It may instead indicate a mild contrast and be understood in the sense of but. Others, as others of a different sort, had trial of his experienced. Cruel mockings means scorns, mockings, or derisive tortures of an especially painful kind. And scourgings is, and of whips or lashes. Not only did they experience cruel mockings, but they also experienced scourgings or whippings. Yea, moreover, is emphatic and indicates that there was something additional that people experienced of bonds and imprisonment, indicates that they had trial of bonds or fetters and of imprisonment, or that they experienced bonds or fetters and imprisonment. In other words, they were put into bonds or fetters, and they were cast into prison. These things have happened during our lifetimes in other places in the world. All of these things happened to them because of their faith. We don't know how well off we are in this country not to have gone through these things. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They were stoned. It means that they were murdered by stoning. They were sawn asunder means that they were sawn in two. Isaiah was reportedly sawn in two. All of a sudden, there were two of you, two pieces, maybe big, maybe small, but you were dead. You didn't know the difference at that point. They were tempted means they were tried or put to the test or tested. They were slain with a sword is literally they died by means of murder with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They wandered about means they went around, they went about, or they went from place to place. You see, they did not have the means to afford anything for clothing other than sheepskins and goatskins. Being destitute means they were lacking. They were going without, or they were coming short and suggests of the very necessities of life. They were afflicted means that they were oppressed. They were also tormented, which means that they were maltreated. And let me interject a thought here. It was all within the will of God for their lives. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Of whom probably has reference to all those who experienced the various difficulties mentioned in verses 35 through 37. The world is the world system or the cosmos, and it was not worthy that these people who endured such things. The world did not deserve people of this quality. They wandered about means they went around, they went about, or they went from place to place. In deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth indicates where they were wandering about. In deserts implies in uninhabited regions. In mountains suggests in hilly country. In dens and caves of the earth indicates that they lived in holes in the ground. In dens is in caves, whereas in caves is in openings in the ground or in holes in the ground. Verse 39, and all, or these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. These all received not the promise. God had promised Abraham that he would inherit the land, but neither he nor his heirs had received it yet. These likely refers to all these people mentioned in chapter 11, and is not likely limited to the last few mentioned. Having obtained is understood in the sense of although they obtained, and what they had obtained was a good report, which means they were testified about. The way that they obtained a good report was through faith. And it means that they were all well spoken of, approved, or praised for their faith. Their faith demonstrated itself in the way they acted, yet they had not received the promise that God had made. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God is God the Father. Having provided some better thing for us is understood in the sense of because God has provided something better for us. Having provided suggests having selected in his omniscience. The sovereign God foresaw a situation which would arise, and he did something so that this situation would not occur. For us is concerning us. And what God provided for us is that they without us should not be made perfect. You see, God is going to bring all believers to perfection at the same time. Rather than make the previous group mentioned in Hebrews 11 perfect before he makes believers in the church age perfect, he's going to bring perfection for the Old Testament saints as well as for the New Testament saints at the same time. We've seen some most amazing things that these people endured because they were demonstrating their faith. So I ask as we close, how are you and I demonstrating our faith? It must be by living faithfully for the Lord according to the scriptures, regardless of where this takes us or what it brings upon us. Let's be doing that. Living faithfully for the Lord, regardless of what the future holds. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for giving us this passage of Scripture where we can see what believers in previous centuries have experienced. We're thankful that we have not experienced all of these things. Help us, our Father, to live faithfully for you. In Jesus' name, amen.